Welcome to Wind Tucson. It is Thursday, and I decided since Arizona's being held hostage, we should find other like-minded states that are experiencing similar election woes. There is currently a runoff in Georgia between current sitting Senator Warnock and Herschel Walker is looking to take that seat. And I have spent a lot of time in Georgia, and I have a lot of great friends there. And one of those friends is a wonderful woman, Pam Lightsey, who is a real estate broker, worked at, I think I'll let her tell us which college she was at for so long. She is also the president of the Georgia Federation of Republican Women, and she's one of the hardest working women I know in the country. So, Pam, thanks for joining us this morning on Wind Tucson.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
So you guys are busy right now in Georgia, knocking doors on the ground, and there's a lot of noise about this campaign, and I think I get at least 7 to 10 emails a day from Herschel, obviously encouraging us to send money, and we want to support. There's a lot of people that are watching this race. So what's happening on the ground since you're there in Georgia?
Sure. So the Georgia Federation of Republican Women, similar to the Arizona Federation of Republican Women, are part of the National Federation of Republican Women, which is 65,000 strong across the country. And so we had a call to action once this general election was over and we knew that we were heading to a runoff. We needed all hands on deck. So we have folks from Arizona. We have folks from Wyoming, Montana, South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, Tennessee, all helping us. So when you get those out-of-state phone numbers on behalf of trying to raise some awareness, not just within our state, but trying to reach out for donations outside our state, probably, those are probably some of the hardworking women across the country. And so we know this race is an important race. Just like Arizona, we've from governor all the way to our local. You know, we had a fight on our hands here, and fortunately for us, we stayed red in the governor's office all the way down to our public service commissioner. So we're proud of that. However, we've got one race still that we're working on, and so next Tuesday is our election day. We're trying to make sure that folks come back out to vote. And in order to do that, we need to raise awareness and let folks know that there is another election. Some folks just say we voted and they're done, but we're not done. So we've got this week, especially right after Thanksgiving, was early voting, started early voting. We've got record numbers. So just to give you a comparison of where we were this time in 2018, we had 479,000, a little over 479,000 folks come and vote the first day of early voting. And in 2022, we've got 832,000, so almost doubled the folks that came out to vote. And of course, we're watching.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you know, in terms of breakdown of party, is it more Democrats, is it more Republicans, or do you not know that?
I do not know that right now. So okay. those are the figures that we're getting. There is a higher turnout. You know, it's interesting. There for a while, we were always told that we're suppressing the vote. We're not suppressing, you know, that obviously has not rang true in what we're doing here in the state. So wasn't true during the primary, is not true now. So we've taken that wind, I think, out of the sail, but we still need folks to get out the vote.
And your governor won decisively. Is that correct there? And he's come to Herschel Walker's side and is encouraging people to support him. So will his voters carry over to Herschel Walker?
Sure. You know, that's what we're hoping for. Governor Kemp is standing behind Herschel, has made that public. As a matter of fact, I just received the new mailers, you know, so all the mailboxes are getting hit. And, you know, standing with Governor Kemp, he's asking everyone to send Herschel Walker to the Senate.
How important is this Senate seat, not only for Georgia, but for the country?
Well, it'll be the deciding factor, right? So we're at 50 to do 50-50. Not only, and I told all of our ladies as we were amping up for the election, this seat, the Senate seat, is six-year term. So that's exactly what you need to do. You need to look at what the difference can make. Now, what Raphael Warnock's been in for 2 years, and we can see a voting record straight with the Biden administration and how that's affected. We need someone, obviously, who can think about what is being passed at the national level and how that affects Georgians, especially, you know, similar to Arizona. We've got our ranchers and farmers. Georgia's very much agricultural state. So when we start looking at food prices and inflation and what's affected everyday people, that's what we need to look at. This is a six-year seat. This is a six-year, and what damage and what can be done in 6 years. It's important for us to make sure that we have someone with conservative values in that seat.
And Warnock has voted 96% of the time with Joe Biden. Is that what Georgia, are those Georgia's values?
I don't think those are Georgia's values. Georgia's been a red state. Obviously, those are not Georgia values.
Has the inflation, we've had a serious impact with inflation here in Arizona. Obviously, we're a border state. Have you also seen the effects of illegal immigration and inflation in Georgia? And is that, are people even talking about that in this election?
So it is being talked about in this election. As a matter of fact, starting in January of this year, we had some information shared with the Georgia Federation of Republican Women and their clubs in regards to illegal immigration and what's happening at the border. As a matter of fact, Sheriff Daniels from my own town of Cochise County was scheduled to come out, could not come out, but Zoom called in, gave us some staggering numbers in regards to what's happening at the border and how one county is having to deal with a national issue. And it's not necessarily a state issue, it's a national security issue. We all know that they come across Arizona's borders, but they're ending up here in Georgia in our farming communities. But not only that, the piece that's more important is that we have huge fentanyl and drug issues that are going along across the country, but as well here in Georgia. So it is important that we secure that border. Being from Arizona, it's important that we secure that border. We need to know who's coming through our border and ending up in our country.
We're going to go to a short break, and then when we come back, I do want people to know about your Arizona roots, who your mom is, and we'll talk about some other similarities that we have between Georgia and Arizona. I'm talking to Pam Lightsey, president of the Georgia Republican Women National Federation. I'm Kathleen Wynn. This is Wynn Tucson. We'll be back right after these messages.
For donations outside our state, probably. Those are probably some of the hardworking women across the country. And so we know this race is an important race. Just like Arizona, we've, from governor all the way to our local, we had a fight on our hands here. And fortunately for us, we stayed red in the governor's office all the way down to our public service commissioner. So we're proud of that. However, we've got one race still that we're working on. And so next Tuesday is our election day. We're trying to make sure that folks come back out to vote. And in order to do that, we need to raise awareness and let folks know that there is another election. Some folks just say we voted and they're done, but we're not done. So we've got this week, especially right after Thanksgiving, was early voting, started early voting. We've got record numbers. So just to give you a comparison of where we were this time in 2018, we had 479,000, a little over 479,000 folks come and vote the first day of early voting. And in 2022, we've got 832,000, so almost doubled the folks that came out to vote. And of course, we're watching.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you know, in terms of breakdown of party, is it more Democrats, is it more Republicans, or do you not know that?
I do not know that right now. So okay. those are the figures that we're getting. There is a higher turnout. It's interesting. There for a while, we were always told that our we're suppressing the vote, we're not suppressing, you know, that obviously has not rang true in what we're doing here in the state. So wasn't true during the primary, is not true now. So we've taken that wind, I think, out of the sail, but we still need folks to get out the vote.
And your governor won decisively. Is that correct there? And he's come to Herschel Walker's side and is encouraging people to support him. So will his voters carry over to Herschel Walker?
Sure. You know, that's what we're hoping for. Governor Kemp is standing behind Herschel, has made that public. As a matter of fact, I just received the new mailers, you know, so all the mailboxes are getting hit. And, you know, standing with Governor Kemp, he's asking everyone to send Herschel Walker to the Senate.
How important is this Senate seat, not only for Georgia, but for the country?
Well, it'll be the deciding factor, right? So we're at 50-50. Not only, I told all of our ladies as we were amping up for the election, the Senate seat is six-year term. So that's exactly what you need to do. You know, you need to look at what the difference can make. Now, what Raphael Warnock's been in for 2 years, and we can see a voting record straight with the Biden administration and how that's affected. We need someone, obviously, who can think about what is being passed at the national level and how that affects Georgians, especially, you know, similar to Arizona. We've got our ranchers and farmers. Georgia's a very much agricultural state. So when we start looking at food prices and inflation and what's affected everyday people, that's what we need to look at. This is a six-year seat. This is a six-year, and what damage and what can be done in 6 years. It's important for us to make sure that we have someone with conservative values in that seat.
And Warnock has voted 96% of the time with Joe Biden. Is that what Georgia, are those Georgia's values?
I don't think those are Georgia's values. Georgia's been a red state. Obviously, those are not Georgia values.
It has the inflation, we've had a serious impact with inflation here in Arizona. Obviously, we're a border state. Have you also seen the effects of illegal immigration and inflation in Georgia? And are people even talking about that in this election?
So it is being talked about in this election. As a matter of fact, starting in January of this year, we had some information shared with the Georgia Federation of Republican Women and their clubs in regards to illegal immigration and what's happening at the border. As a matter of fact, Sheriff Daniels from my hometown of Cochise County was scheduled to come out, could not come out, but Zoom called in, gave us some staggering numbers in regards to what's happening at the border and how one county is having to deal with a national issue. And it's not necessarily a state issue, it's a national security issue. We all know that they come across Arizona's borders, but they're ending up here in Georgia in our farming communities. But not only that, the piece that's more important is that we have huge fentanyl and drug issues that are going along across the country, but as well here in Georgia. So it is important that we secure that border. Being from Arizona, it's important that we secure that border. We need to know who's coming through our border and ending up in our country.
We're going to go to a short break, and then when we come back, I do want people to know about your Arizona roots, who your mom is, and we'll talk about some other similarities that we have between Georgia and Arizona. I'm talking to Pam Lightsey, president of the Georgia Republican Women National Federation. I'm Kathleen Wynn. This is Wynn Tucson. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson, where we're speaking up, solving problems, and bringing solutions to everyday concerns. And right now, one of our biggest concerns is who wins the Georgia Senate seat. I'm talking to Pam Lightsey on the U.S. Senate runoff in Georgia. And Pam is the president of the Georgia Federation of Republican Women. And full disclosure, Pam and I have worked together on a variety of issues. And I think I got Sheriff Mark Lamb to come visit you too. So you like my sheriffs in Arizona, and I love them too. So, well, welcome back. And so you are from Arizona originally, and you let us know Cochise County. So you were raised here in Arizona.
I was. So I was a military, we call them military brats. My dad was stationed at Fort Huachuca, so originally from Sierra Vista, from Cochise County.
And your mom works very hard, actually, but she represents the people in southern Arizona. She's been a state senator. She's currently a state rep. And I'll let you tell us about your wonderful mother.
Sure. So my mom is no other than Gail Griffin. And so, you know, I've had a great role model in regards to getting involved and looking at issues and reading what needs to be read, and would not be where I'm at without her insight. So it's very interesting. I fly out every opening session, so I'm there with her in the state capitol for the first week of opening session, and so it's interesting to see there's lots of similarities between the two states, and there are probably similarities in other states as well, but it's interesting to see that, you know, we both have legislators that are fighting for people within our state, and she does. You know, it's neat to be able to hang out with her during that week and see what comes across the desk as far as legislation and what you guys are looking at. And we've shared some of those pieces of legislation with my legislators here in Georgia. The Silver Alert Bill, we took a copy of that and passed it here in Georgia. And so it's interesting how, you know, we can do that.
And just for my listeners that don't know, the Silver Alert is if a senior goes missing. So we used to have Amber Alert. And actually, I worked on that with law enforcement to help that get out back in, I think,
sure.
Some, yeah, and that's, it's a great thing. We've been able to find missing seniors, unfortunately, dementia, Alzheimer's, and just disorientation happens, and bring a lot of seniors back home safe. So that's a wonderful, if you're going to steal that good stuff. Don't steal how we do elections here, though, I'm going to tell you.
No, we are.
Please don't.
We had that bill here, and as a matter of fact, I was in mom's office when she received a phone call from a constituent that, you know, her mother had been missing, and what could they do? And so I had explained to her we had just passed that piece of legislation and forwarded her the bill, which I think some of that verbiage was,
yes,
was crafted and tweaked for Arizona. So it was a great bill. Unfortunately, you know, she was found in the desert, but had several folks along the way said they remembered her. So, you know, just raising awareness when the community needs, we actually are very giving people. We care about each other. And I think that's the other reason we need to kind of get back to that, you know, watch out for our neighbors and make sure that, you know, we help those that are in our own communities.
I think that you bring up a really good point. We, overall, the people that live in our states care about people. They want to do the right thing. I don't think that people want to be over-involved in the running of the government, but they want to be able to trust the government, and they want to be able to trust their elections and know that we really are truly electing people that represent our values. Unfortunately, I think your last election that in 2020, the same concerns that got raised here were raised there. What has Georgia done in the last 2 years to make your elections more secure and safer?
Sure. So they did pass legislation, this legislative session, to, you know, kind of rein in some of that in regards to drop-off boxes, ballot harvesting, which is illegal, and some of those other areas that were obviously a concern when we had that race. And then, of course, you know, we were hit hard by the media, which, you know, you can't really, I love media to a certain degree, but you can't really ever trust what the media is saying. And I've always told folks, you know, if you hear it, go ahead, peel back the onion, go ahead and do your own investigative work and see what the true story is. You can't necessarily believe everything that is reported. So we did that in Georgia. They did pass legislation. We had a committee formed, and they looked at other states and what other states were doing, and to include Arizona. So we tightened those. I say tightened loosely, but we really evaluated our process. It tweaked it a little bit. And as a matter of fact, I mean, by the numbers are there. You know, we didn't suppress the vote. That was the big thing. Everybody put Georgia suppressing the vote, when in fact there are other states that are even stricter than Georgia, but those don't necessarily get mentioned. But because we changed some of the dates and some of the things that processes in which we do, we were looked at suppressing the vote. We have not suppressed the vote. It is obviously we have not suppressed the vote. And so we're working to make sure that we have volunteers, you know, at our polling locations. We have, especially this week while I'm on the phone, just received an email from our National Federation of Republican Women. So, you know, this weekend we've got Christmas parades. I know that people are handing out information in regards to this race, making sure that people get out and vote on Tuesday. Friday will be the last day of early voting. And then, of course, Tuesday is Election Day.
And I know that we're hearing, you know, there's been a concerted effort to diminish and to attack Herschel Walker's character and reputation. Is that continuing as we head into your election on Tuesday?
As a matter of fact, it's kind of gotten a little, it's continued. I am not the same person I was in 1997, nor am I in 2005 that I am today.
Correct.
And so I think we are always bettering ourselves, you know, for those folks that are wanting to a better life. I mean, you know, we are constantly learning. We should always be learning about how we can do things and do things better, as well as, ethically and morally. And so, you know, you can pull a lot of stuff out of a closet. You can go through a lot of what's going on in the past, but is that the same individual it is today? What I do know about Herschel is that, you know, I have been with him on several of his stops. We, he is a man of faith. He is going to surround himself with people if he is not aware of how to conduct that and how to get the correct information to make an informative decision. I truly believe that he will do that. It's kind of disheartening, actually, when you start looking at ads and that we have a sitting senator who endorses the ads, yet he's a pastor. So, you know, how as a someone of his congregation, I'm not sure how I would feel about my pastor endorsing a commercial in regards to that. When we don't pass judgment on each other, and that is what the Bible says. There's only one who does that. So we answer for that to someone else higher, and so I can't talk to his past in regards of the decisions that he's made. I just know that going forward and what he's wanting to do and what he's going to do, I'm very encouraged by that. And so people can always listen to the commercials. They can think that that's what it is. Again, that's the press, that's the media, that's what money and the outside chunk of money that comes in for this has been huge. But, you know, Stacey Abrams did that with Brian Kemp's race all the way down the ticket. So, you know, we just
so it sounds like Georgia
voters are looking at that.
Georgia voters discerned for themselves that that wasn't honest, and they decided to vote against it. You brought up a good point. Warnock is a pastor, but he's pro-choice, correct? So he's
that is correct,
and actually pro-abortion. So does that matter in Georgia?
You know, I'm going to say I am pro-life, and you know that's a personal decision for what you want to believe in. But you know, we are Georgia. We are part of the Bible Belt. There's a strong connection with that. I can't make a decision for somebody else that are in those shoes. I would hope that they would make a decision for pro-life, but, you know, there are a lot of folks that are pro-life. And in regards to someone in that role, I would think that, you know, they would follow the Bible. But again, you know, that's someone's decision. I can't make that decision for them.
Yes.
Based on what they go through. We do have, you know, a state law that puts things in place in regards to abortion. I know we just went through the whole Roe versus Wade.
Yes.
Overturn, but you know, our state has guidelines, you know, medically necessary, those things that are in place, if you have to have it. I don't look at abortion as a form of birth control, if that's what it's being used as. I don't think that's correct, but that's just my opinion.
No, and I think we share that opinion. We have a minute to before our next break, and can I get you to stay for one more segment so we could talk about anti-trafficking? Would you do that with me?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. So we're talking to Pam Lightsey, and we're talking about the Senate runoff and how important this is. Pam is the president of the Georgia Federation of Republican Women, and we will come back and talk about a shared passion that we have right after these messages. You're listening to Kathleen Wynn. This is Wynn Tucson on The Voice, 10:30 a.m. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. I am talking to my good friend Pam Lightsey, who just happens to be Gail Griffith's daughter and is part of the National Federation of Republican Women, and we both don't like sex trafficking, so I feel like I have a sister from another mother. And so grateful for you. So how long ago did we meet? Does it go back to the thing with Jimmy Carter in 2015?
So it did. Yes, I was district governor for Rotary.
Yes.
And was getting ready to take my position in July when we did a kickoff in the state of Georgia at the Carter Center for coming up with a 5, 10, and 15-year plan in regards to human trafficking and what we're going to do in our state to combat that problem. And so it was a group effort on all
yes.
different levels.
I think we ended up having 22 states and 14 countries there, and the findings were presented to the UN, and it was a 4-day conference, and people might cringe at Jimmy Carter, although he's a really, in terms of this issue in human rights and civil rights, this is something that he has devoted his life to. God bless him for still being around. And I think he enjoyed the conference. I think he enjoyed us all being there. I think it was a wonderful, wonderful event. And I think from there we've done many other things since then. So that means like seven, 8 years that we've known each other, which I value that. Is trafficking still an issue in Georgia?
Absolutely. You know, so we met again when we're getting ready for the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
We had that meeting in right outside Atlanta. I won't say where, but right outside Atlanta to meet with those local law enforcement agencies to kind of be on the lookout of hotels and things that are happening, because we know with any national
sporting event,
you know, it's huge. And so being from Augusta, and we have this beautiful tournament here, you know, it is definitely an issue in Georgia, and where the Super Bowl travels from place to place to place, the Augusta National is every year. So we see it firsthand here. And, you know,
we have the Phoenix, we have the Phoenix Open. So we have the same, and obviously this year we have the Super Bowl. And then the Final Four follows the Super Bowl. So you usually get the Final Four the year after the Super Bowl. So then you've got professional football, baseball, basketball.
We do. We have the Hawks. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's lots. I mean, unfortunately, it's one of those where people fly in from all over to enjoy a sporting event and enjoy the location and bring it in the state as well. So, yeah, I think the Super Bowl, we put away 167
yes.
That year. So, and saved hundreds from that event, so from that sting. So that was very, very positive. But there again, you know, it goes hand in hand with the drug issue. So when we were looking at a Senate race, we want someone who's going to be tough on crime, and we're just not getting that from Warnock, where I would like to, where Herschel is very much supporting the first responders and supporting the blue, as well as this governor is probably the most supportive of our first responders and policemen than we've ever had.
If I hope that what the governor has to say in Georgia speaks loudest above the ads, above the noise, if you will, of the media. And there were three people in this race before we went to this runoff, correct? And who was the person that did not get selected to be in this runoff?
Yeah, he was also, you know, given a nice little chunk of change from it was an independent party. So he is, we have not heard from him. I have not heard Pete.
That might be a blessing. Let's,
but you know, we're hoping that, you know, that it's going to come over to Herschel's side. But, you know, in regards to human trafficking, it's a travesty what happens. It's in the training for law enforcement with Deliver Fund and other agencies is crucial in what they do. And so
there's a lot of technology. We've been bringing a lot of technology here to Arizona to help our law enforcement. We're experiencing a shortage, though, of law enforcement officers. You know, recruitment is, we have so many people going into drop and retiring. So you can bring in a body, you can bring in a new recruit, but you've lost 20, you know, 10, 20, 30 years of history and knowledge. And so is Georgia experiencing that right now in terms of transitions and bringing in new law enforcement? I think there was a concerted effort to kind of demean and diminish our law enforcement over the last 5 years. And has that impacted Georgia?
It has impacted Georgia. So I know for, I guess, probably since COVID, and it's been since Sheriff Lamb was here. So, you know, every 2 years I try to bring in an Arizona sheriff from home, one that mom has worked with as well, just to kind of give the eyesight on the border. We know that Arizona's population in private hands is 13% and 87% federal land, just the complete opposite for Georgia. So we have little federal land, and lot of our budget is very well populated. So we have we need the law enforcement, just like Cochise County is short. Columbia County was short when Sheriff Lamb was here and met with our sheriff here. So we do have a shortage. I know that our Georgia State Patrol, similar to Arizona Highway Patrol, are trying to incentivize folks to get involved in the law enforcement field, and it is crucial. I think, especially when we saw that at the end of Trump's administration, the beginning of Biden, with the ambushes on law enforcement agents. That, you know, they have a family they would like to come home to every night as well. And so, you know, when I leave to go sell a piece of real estate, I'm hoping that I make it home. They put their life on the line, not anything like what we do on a day-to-day basis. So it is worth thinking twice, I think, where before it wasn't. You know, it usually was a legacy. If someone in the family was a law enforcement or a firefighter, you know, if there were any generations down the road that were thinking about that was the path. I don't know that we're seeing much of that. And I think some of our older agents or officers are kind of hesitant to get their children involved in the same field that they've been in for, you know, 20, 30 years.
Well, I think it's changed, and we've seen a concerted effort not to follow laws. I mean, our Border Patrol is, I would say, somewhat demoralized, and in terms of that they know what their job is, they know what their mission is, and they're quite frankly overrun and overwhelmed, and they're not allowed to do their job. I realize Georgia has a different kind of border, but you get the effects of that also. They may start in our state, but you're getting the effects of illegal immigration, I'm assuming, because you have big population centers. And that, in turn, then puts more pressure on our law enforcement. I know our violent crimes, our murders, are going up in our state. Tucson's had an incredible increase in crime where I'm living now, and it's hard if you don't have the necessary resources and you don't have a system in place, and it's like the actual institutions have been attacked. And I don't know. I know Georgia had some issues with criminal enterprises and networks in downtown Atlanta. So I know that there's crime, and unfortunately, when there's so many distractions, our law enforcement can't do their basic job.
Sure. And we have that here. Definitely some increase in certain areas. You know, we've had shootings here, which normally, Richmond County and Columbia County are border counties, and one very ridden with crime, with the not-so-tough DA versus the county in which I live, very structured, very a DA that's, you know, a bulldog, so to speak, will go after, you know, the criminal. So it all depends on that level, too, how that is dealt with. And we saw that in the last election where they were going after our attorney general's offices, and then anyone who served in that role in regards to the Trump administration, you know, those candidates that were running for their local offices were also attacked. So, you know, it doesn't stop. It hasn't stopped. And we've got one more chance to stop it with this election.
I've got about a break in about a minute and a half. What about Chris Carr? Is he still your attorney general?
Chris Carr is still our attorney general. As a matter of fact, Chris and I, he's very supportive in information. Anytime I call, I get what we need in regards to human trafficking. So they've put a couple different task force together since this, as well as they're doing a new drug task force. I just got that information from him a couple months ago. And so he's going after it, as well as our current local district attorney, Bobby Christine. So, you know, we're very fortunate in that realm. Not all of Georgia. Now, unlike Arizona, Georgia has 159 counties.
oh, my gosh. I hate to tell you what that would be like to certify our election right now. That almost gives me a headache just hearing that. But keep going.
So 159 counties, we have quite a bit of pockets of areas where they're not so tough on crime. And, of course, Atlanta just being the hub of all kinds of other things. And that's why we focus human trafficking in the Atlanta area. But, you know, as well as rural, you know, that doesn't hide anywhere.
I do know that. I'm gonna beg your indulgence. We're going to take a very short break, and I'd like to come back and just finish up what we'd like to see on Tuesday. And then just maybe one more thing on the legislature coming forward as we head into this new year.
Sounds great.
Okay. Talking to Pam Lightsey on the U.S. Senate runoff in Georgia. President, Georgia Federation of Republican Women, just talking about all the things that we love. This is Kathleen Wynn. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to 10:30 a.m. The Voice. This is Kathleen Wynn, and I'm talking to Pam Lightsey. Pam is from Georgia. She is talking to us about the U.S. Senate runoff, and she has the wonderful honor and distinction of being the president of the Georgia Federation of Republican Women, which is part of a national organization. I'm part of the Arizona Republican Women, and former third vice president, Ways and Means, used to raise a lot of money for the Republican women here a couple years ago now. So it's an important organization. It's one of the best things that we do is help each other. So what can we do to contribute or help in getting Herschel Walker across the finish line on Tuesday?
Sure. So anyone who would like to contribute, I've always told folks, go directly to the candidate. So it's just teamherschel.com. And that's team, TEAMHERSCHEL.com.
Okay. So teamherschel.com. And they can do a lot. There's still a lot of things that can be done between now and Tuesday. The gentleman that disappeared, the independent, Are your independents former Republicans or former Democrats? Because typically that's who independents are. Do you know the breakdown of your independents in your state?
So our libertarians in our state tend to vote more Republican. Independents, really, it's a split. So there's not one way or the other. It all depends. They're more issue based in that regards for us. So, they hopefully get out to vote. I mean, that's we're going for the base, and they are hitting some of those areas in regards to libertarians and independents.
Have you seen, has Mitch McConnell been a factor or a player in this election?
I've not heard from him. Some of the campaigns may have, but
he's been kind of quiet on this one.
He's been kind of quiet.
That may be a blessing.
Yeah,
sometimes we don't think it is, but that might just be a blessing. What about, have you had the parade of senators? Has Ted Cruz, has Herschel garnered support from others who are in the Senate right now, who have come and said, I support Herschel Walker?
Absolutely. So Herschel has not been nonstop. As a matter of fact, every day this week, two or three times, he has got, he's on the bus tour. So he'll be, he's in Valdosta later this week. He's in northern parts over the weekend. And so he has not stopped. He is out there. He's meeting and greeting and letting folks know that he wants to represent them. And so it's important, we had Rick Scott out here, Ted Cruz has been out here, Rona McDaniel has been out here. And so she, and that was just yesterday. So there has been a flood of supports that has also come in from outside the state.
I think everyone understands this is an all hands on deck, and that we know we took back the House. And to control the Senate would make for a much more balanced last 2 years of the Biden administration for this term. And I think that it would stop some of the whiplash we've been having in this country, because the country that we had under Donald Trump, love him or hate him, is completely different than the country we have under Joe Biden. And I think that people want just to have some normal, and I hope the people of Georgia understand the importance and the impact of this election.
Well, it's just, for example, let's just go back to the border. I'm being from the border, from a border town, I'm very familiar with what goes on and what happens to cattle, fences, water, all of that affects the people there. All of that is affecting the people in Georgia as well. And so when you have an administration that can fund 87,000 IRS agents but won't fund 87,000 border agents, we have a problem. We have a serious problem. And so those are the things that need to be looked at. And underneath this administration, we've not been able to look at that seriousness of that. Instead, we're looking at how we can make sure that the people of this country are under the thumb of the government, and when in fact it should be less government and more for the people. We, the people, elect the people that are there, and they should be reporting back to us. We're not to be controlled by them. And so, same thing with Roe versus Wade. I waffled a little bit on that, but it was a federal mandate, so to speak,
yes,
a decision that was made when in fact that should be a state's right. And so, there's lots of those. That was one, that just was recent, but there are lots of those things that come into play when you start looking at what is it that we send our representatives there to do for us.
Well,
and on a national security level, yes, but on things that come to states' rights, it needs to stay at the state right level.
I think our states need to be empowered, and that's the way that the framers set it up. Our founding fathers intended,
correct,
for us to have, the states be in charge of their people in their states, and to have a small federal government, and we have anything but. And I keep asking the question, who benefits from a weakened America? It's not Americans. So who outside of our country is benefiting from that? And we don't have a lot of time, but I would love to have you come back. Maybe when you come to Arizona for your mom's opening session with the Arizona State Legislature, I'll make you come into the station and we can talk more. But I think, you know, China and the influence and social media and TikTok and all these things that are attacking our youth and the hypersexualization of our youth seems to be encouraged by the Warnock side of the party and not on the Walker side of the party, that we need to protect our children and we need to put people in office who understand that our next generation is the hope and the future for this country.
And the and going back to human traffickers, so we know, and we have cases here, we have one in Augusta right now where a child was on the video game and she was trafficked through her video games. And so they are going after our children in that regards, because they know that no one's supervising them. They're at home by themselves, could, may, or may not be from a single family. You know, it doesn't matter, but they are using that technology. And so we need to be aware of these things and not just brush things underneath the carpet, but bring some of those things to light, which I think Herschel Walker can do.
I think that, so you guys are knocking doors, you are making phone calls. What else can we do for you? What else can we do to help you?
We're knocking, gosh, probably in our area alone in this county, we're doing, you know, a thousand doors a day. So if you would like to make phone calls, you can make a phone call. You can email me. We can get you connected with our Georgia GOP.
So, Pam, give everyone your email address.
Sure. It's really easy. It's pam@pamlightsey.com. And so that's PAMLIGHTSEY. And you know, well, this is the weekend. This is our slam-packed weekend. This is the time to get... We all thought that the commercials and the texts and the phone calls were over, but we got one more push, and then everybody can celebrate on the 7th. But we have, you know, we have a lot of folks that need to make sure we get them out to vote.
It's all on the line, and it's very important, and the work you're doing is critically important, and we really appreciate you. One last thing. So what is on Gail Griffin's agenda for the state legislature? Can you give us that her highest priorities? Will you get in trouble with your mom?
I haven't really talked to mom today. So I know that she is looking forward to serving the people again for this next term. You know, you can look at mom's committees and know exactly where her passions are, and water is right there at the top.
I was going to say water. I hope it's water, because we need her to be on water.
Water. There is not anyone that I know of that knows more about water for Arizona than Gail Griffin. And so if I could take some of that knowledge and pencil it, unfortunately, you know, there's years and years and years of that since, 1998, she's been involved in private property rights and yes. as a real estate agent and broker as well as, you know, starting her legislative career. Not consistently, because she came and left, but, you know, she started that in 98. So the border and water have always been her passion, and veterans. And so I would suspect that you'll probably see some legislation in regards to that, but don't hold me to that, because she keeps that pretty close until drop day.
I know. I was just trying to get a sneak peek. I want to thank you so much for your time and energy. We're going to close out with a song from Christine McVie. As my tribute to Fleetwood Mac and to her.
Absolutely.
And just keep working. We'll keep praying. And I look forward to seeing you in January.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thanks. That was Pam Lightsey in helping us hopefully win our Senate seat in Georgia. And we'll close out with this. This is Kathleen Wynn on Wynn Tucson, The Voice. See you tomorrow.